Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show here. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. That's our website, you know. Mountain West Connection is Facebook. And MWC Connection, I'm getting a bunch of ding shirts that are annoying me. So,
ding, 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 ding,
ding. Ding, 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 ding. Do you hear that as well?
No, actually, I don't.
We'll get going here. It wants me to upgrade Google Plus as I start the show here because we're going through YouTube. So, we'll see how long this ding lasts, because that was quite annoying to start the show. But this is the show. You are listening to recorded live Mountain West Connection. Jeremy Moss here with Chris Hondris hanging out somewhere in probably warmer than me, Las Vegas.
Not that much warmer.
Okay.
I'll be honest. It's like mid-40s right now.
Yeah, about 20, so not bad. Well, okay, it's up. So hopefully I don't drop here. So if you hear me stop talking, I'll keep going because I'm now getting my opening Google Voice notification here to upgrade, so we'll see how that goes. But we have college football rankings to talk about. We have six games to talk about. Rivalry week to talk about, even though rival games are spread out now. But we have a lot to talk about, to say the least.
Yay! So do we start with the Twitter questions? Oh, wait, we don't have Twitter questions.
Thanks a lot, jerks.
Thanks, guys. They always have Twitter questions present on Twitter. They figure that's the way they'll get a shorter show out of us.
Sure, but maybe. Also, my excuse was everybody's prepping for Black Friday, reading those ads. That's a couple days away.
Well, you know, that's a logical answer. We can't be logical on here. So anyway, college football playoff rankings came out tonight.
Yeah, pretty big deal. Leading up to that, Jerry Palm and others were saying no Mountain West or no Group of Five teams will be ranked. Well, we got two this week.
Yay!
Boise State at number 24.
You mean at number 23.
Excuse me, 23. Marshall at number 24. No Colorado State.
Yeah, which... It kind of sucks because you're still ranking a 7-4 Utah at number 25.
Yeah, they lost 42-10. They lost beat down.
They were beat down. They should not be ranked.
No.
So, Colorado State should be 25, just for kicks and giggles.
At least it wasn't Arkansas, because there was talk about them being 25.
Yeah.
A 6-5 Arkansas team.
I'll be honest. I like the rankings.
Do you think it's accurate?
Colorado State. What?
But shouldn't the Rams be ranked, do you believe?
Oh, definitely. The Rams should definitely be ranked. But if you're talking
about... Should
they
be at a Boise State?
At this point, no. And the reason why I'm going to say no, and all the Colorado State fans are going to get upset at me, because, Colorado State. No, it's because... Taking into account what these committee members take into account, so-called, they value conference championships. Right now, Boise State controls their own destiny for making the conference championship, meaning that a two-loss Boise State who makes the conference championship game and wins the conference is going to be ranked ahead of an undefeated Marshall who has made the championship game. Now, don't get me wrong. I think, in a hypothetical situation, I think if Colorado State beats Air Force on Friday, which I'm thinking is going to happen.
Without Jacoby Owens.
And if Boise State loses to Utah State on Saturday, and Colorado State ends up winning the title, or ends up winning to making it Mountain Division to the championship game.
And beating that 5-8 Hawaii squad.
I think that Colorado State is going to basically take Boise State's place at like number 23 or 22.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, because they do like, but then why is Utah ranked if that's the case? They're nowhere near this Pac-12 South. But I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, maybe not. People say, oh, you're making an excuse. You love Colorado State. You hate Boise State.
Or you love Boise State or hate Colorado State. No, it's nothing like that. I'm legitimately trying to figure out how the
So was I. I was thinking the same thing you were thinking, like, well, maybe because the conference – I was going to say the exact same thing, but you started going about maybe it is because they're the leading team to win that conference.
Now,
and that could make sense, I guess.
I also will say this. If Boise State had not lost to Air Force, I think Boise State would be ranked higher than 23rd right now.
Oh, yeah, because they would be on a, what, 10-game winning streak?
Yeah. And I also don't think Colorado State fans would be whining about it. Of course, that'd be because Boise State would have the front running.
Two-game lead. They would have already, they'd be, if that were the case, if they beat Air Force, they would, there's no way anybody could beat them in the Mountain Division. They would have it wrapped up already as undefeated.
No, assuming if they lost to Utah State, Utah would have the head-to-head, but lose the head-to-head Colorado State, and then you'd go into three.
No, but Utah State would have two losses.
I'm assuming Utah State won against Boise. Oh, you're... We'd have even more confusion than what we would have Saturday night. It would go to, like, the third tiebreaker.
Yeah, I'd go to comment. Yeah, whatever. We'll get to those later. We have those ready still, too, so... But I say exact same things too. Maybe they are just going because, well, they're the front runner, they're supposed to win, so they're going to rank them. And that does lead up to a few things they mentioned, because they're talking about, a lot of people are mentioning this, future scheduling is why maybe USC was jumped up so high last week. Because they were playing UCLA.
And that's why TCU and Ohio State should not be freaked out about sitting 5-6. In the right out of the playoff right now, Mississippi State is not going to win. Is not going to go to the championship game unless Alabama loses. If Alabama loses Mississippi State, then Alabama is going to move out of that slot. And remember, taking conference championships into account, one of those teams will not be playing for a conference championship. Which means
Missouri is going to win, right? That my biggest fear is Missouri winning the SEC overall, and they somehow jump up to number four.
You're a horrible person and should never be. No.
Just saying, they like their conference titles.
Yeah, right. But that's what I'm saying. Conference championship taken into account, TCU or Baylor. Actually, it would be Baylor at that point, or Ohio State, even more so because they actually have a championship game to play. They've got a very good chance of overtaking anybody in that number four slot.
So, is your top four stay the same?
Oh, my top four has been Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, TCU. Actually, I switched it to Baylor last week. Last week I switched it to Baylor, and this week I'm keeping the same.
Okay. Because there is a way that the SEC, well, we don't discuss too much, but it's just kind of fun. They could have everybody with two losses, because Alabama could lose to Auburn, which is conceivable.
Which is very, very conceivable. If you take a look at the... odds right now, the Iron Bowl odds, Alabama has a, whoa, really? 9.5-point favorites?
Yeah, I saw that.
BS. Get out of here.
Nope.
Whereas Florida State only has a 7.5. I think it's very conceivable that Alabama could lose to Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Especially with how they've lost in recent years.
Well, but then there's more. Well, yeah, kick six and all that, but the Alabama could lose.
Cam Newton game?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, they're up huge and blow it. But then you also have Ole Miss is sitting at, where are they? Where did Ole Miss drop down to?
Ole Miss and Auburn cannot make the championship game.
No, that's what I'm getting at. No. Why can't Ole Miss beat Mississippi State?
Okay, I get what you're saying. Yes, you guys I get it.
If Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl, two losses for the Bulldogs. Auburn beats Alabama, two losses. The best SEC team could be is 12-2. Would you take I don't have the tiebreaker in front of me, but say whoever wins the West has two losses. Would that get them in?
I'm not sure, because then on the East you have Missouri and Georgia, who are both sitting at 9-2 right now. They win, they're going to be all at 10-2 as well.
Well, I know you get my point. No, but the West wins the division, though. Because basically, if my scenario plays out, the best any team could be is 12-2.
Right. Yeah. Alabama would win that scenario because Alabama holds the tiebreaker for Mississippi State.
What I'm getting at is the conference champion in SEC has two losses.
Yes.
Would they take a two-loss Alabama or whoever in the playoff?
No. Maybe.
Because you'd have Oregon maybe one. Let's just say played at Oregon one, Florida State. Those two are in. Let's just say they are. Then you got TCU and Ohio State or Ohio State Baylor. Basically Ohio State Big 12 champion, all with one loss and zero for FSU.
Oh yeah, I get what you're saying.
That's a concern, and I'm just saying they're all conference champions as well. One thing too about the committee I don't like is that they Jeff Long mentioned about ranking teams, considering the teams when they are ranked when they played. So for example, Boise played Ole Miss. What was Ole Miss? Were they top 5 when they played them? Top 10?
No, they were number 18.
Number 18, whatever they are, they're considering, at least it was, the ranking of when they played them, which makes no sense. Well, it does make sense, unless there's an injury involved. Like, Oregon losing their center or one of the offensive linemen, that's a different game than them having those guys in there. But the ranking shouldn't be reflective of when you played, because look at Arkansas. They whooped up on Ole Miss last week.
Well, if they're taking rankings into account, I mean...
No, rankings when you play the team.
Ole Miss kept... Isn't that, in essence, creating your own RPI?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because they're number 2 at the time, but now they're number 12. But you lost the number... Is that a better win because you beat them at 2, but they've been on a losing streak? Because they're at 12? I kind of get what they're doing, but this is supposed to be a cumulative effect, not a singular one-week-at-a-time vacuum.
I get that.
Because Boise State right now has 0 wins over a ranked team. Colorado State has a loss to a ranked team. What's better? You know what I mean? Boise and Colorado State are actually 0-1 against ranked opponents.
Right.
I'm just saying that. But really quick, do you think Colorado or Boise State's the placeholder for the Mountain West title team, if it's them or CSU? Because it'd look kind of odd if the Rams jump Marshall if they win the title. Mountain West title, you know what I mean? Without being ranked.
Okay, repeat that question.
Is like you said before, do you believe whoever the Mountain West champion is out of the Mountain Division, whether it be Utah State, Colorado State, Boise State, are there, would they overtake and just replace Boise State with that Mountain team?
I don't think Utah State would.
What would Utah State be? They'd be 12. They have, 2 losses at the moment? Is that right?
They have...
Three. So they would be... They'd have the X-14 games. They'd be 11-3. You don't think they would pass Marshall?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Once you hit 3 losses, Marshall cannot be passed.
An undefeated Marshall.
Yeah.
Because Marshall could somehow lose.
I'll be honest. I was very surprised when the 2-loss Boise State team overtook Marshall.
Yeah, that. But I'm also very surprised that a 2-loss Rams team is not in there as well, anywhere.
Yeah, well, that too.
Well, let's move on. We've went in circles enough on that. We're ranked teams. Woohoo! That's a positive. But we got games this week. I'm sorry if I'm stopping or stuttering. I get this beep. I updated that Google Talk plugin about 4 times, but it's still not going away with that beep, so it's kind of annoying. So hopefully it's not. You don't hear it at all, do you?
Nope.
Perfect. So it's just bugging me the whole time. Love it. Okay, so let's get to the games here. We have one game Friday night. Which is a huge, would have been huge if Mr. Jacoby Owens wasn't out. But you got Colorado State.
No, playing. It's still pretty big.
It's still huge. Air Force is still very good, of course. But Colorado State traveling to the Service Academy in Colorado Springs for a Black Friday CBS Sports Network game, which is 1:30 local, 3:30 Eastern time. And Air Force, did you know they're undefeated at home?
I did not, but that would explain how Boise State lost.
There you go. That does. You know that. They got that case. The Rams, they've been on a roll lately. Last week, past couple weeks, they've been doing their thing with D-Hart. Rashard Higgins, if you haven't heard, he's actually a finalist for the Blitnikoff Award. Won't win, but he's a finalist.
Yeah, it was announced tonight that he was a finalist.
He'll lose to Amari Cooper from Alabama, so even though his stats are
better. Will he, though? Will he though? Amari Cooper went out last week with a bruised knee. And then
if he hasn't played the rest
that, if he's not 100% versus Auburn this week, he's not 100% versus Auburn this week. I think that award could go to Higgins no matter what.
Who's the third guy? I don't even know who that was. Our guy Terrence put something up. I didn't even look at the third guy. Do you know who that is?
I'm looking it up right now.
I don't recall, but here's the thing. You got probably the second, running backs are so good. One of the best running backs in the league, best receiver. Their defense has actually been playing better of late. But, man, you got to stop that triple option attack, and I don't know who the Colorado Chase is going to throw out there that can replace Jacoby Owens.
Kevin White of West Virginia is the other finalist. So actually, that makes sense a lot.
He's good. So what are your thoughts on this? Because if Air Force doesn't have Owens, what is going to be the game plan for them? Just whoever's next in line?
It has to be. Pearson actually has to run less.
Run less, but throw more? Because he threw, 22 times last week, I believe? That was a lot for him.
No. Whoever's the running back needs to throw more. I mean, he threw significant
times
last week, and it was effective. Once you throw too much, I think it loses its effectiveness, especially as a triple option team.
Oh, totally, because that's the point, is able to lure them in and then beat them downfield with the pass.
Yes, yeah, so I don't think you can do that. So I think for Pearson, max he should be only throwing 15 to 18 times a game. But whoever's next in line behind Jacoby Owens, they're the ones who need to step up.
Yeah, you gotta. They usually have everybody in there, but this is one of the few years where they don't have 3 to 5 back. Like, maybe not 3 to 5, but they don't go three or four deep in the running game.
Yeah,
and that's a problem. Usually they've had all sorts of people there to step in. But losing Owens, I don't know if they have it. But I think it could be more concerning for the defense of Air Force, because it's been not hit or miss, but it's been better than in years past. But it's either been really good or just okay. And can those 250-pound nose tackles withstand DeHart running 30 times?
I don't think so. I think there's going to have to be a lot of chop blocks.
Of course. Well, that's the offense taking, getting rid of those Ram defenders there. But
here's the thing about Air Force's defense. It's been stingy, especially in the run game. Yeah, they've forced a lot of interceptions, but they've forced tons of fumbles at all. And so, I'm going to be really excited to watch is Weston Steelhammer versus DeHart.
That'll be good. But did you know the past two games combined, Air Force has given up 1,000 yards in total offense?
No. That's
a lot of yards.
That's pretty bad. But a lot of that was through the air. Oh, I just thought about that. A lot of that was through the air.
you got Rashard Higgins, who's pretty good. You got Garrett Grayson. You probably have, arguably, that is the best passing combo. And DeHart is right there with J.J. and Donald Pumphrey. So this, you could argue this is the best offensive unit out of the skill positions in the league.
Yeah.
Or very close to it. Running back, not a clear, nowhere near being a clear number one. Three at worst. But best receiver, best quarterback. If they're going to throw through the air. Because look what Azeel Ruffin did last week with Quinn Kaler. And also, a starting cornerback, Jordan Mays, did not practice earlier in the week, so that could be another sore spot for the Falcons there.
So, I mean, now we've talked about this, it's fairly obvious Colorado State's going to run away with this one.
At 6 points, they're going to easily get to six and hope and glue to their TV Saturday night to Boise State, Utah State.
Lines up to 7 now, by the way, but yes.
Oh, it is 7. I would take that. Air Force is so good at home, but Colorado State's better than Nevada.
All right, I'm writing this down.
That Colorado State's better than Nevada?
No.
Taking notes?
No. I'm writing down the bet, so when we do the base.
Oh, wait, yeah.
I can write down that Colorado State is better than Nevada, too. I mean, I enjoy it.
You just started, you're like, oh, it sounds important as soon as I mentioned that. So that's what I was trying to.
It is important.
I gotcha. So we got that game there. Let's move on. So we both got same pick. And here's how the how it works out. For the division, Colorado State needs to win, and they need Utah State to win to beat Boise. So they need to win and help. Next game is Wyoming at New Mexico. This is the only game out of the bunch that has zero implications on either division. Did you know that?
Yeah. Did you know also that New Mexico is a 4.5-point favorite?
Home favorite.
That's a little bit more than home team advantage right there, my friend.
Yeah, it's 1.5.
New Mexico, though, has looked better in the weeks, except for last week against Colorado State. They have looked better.
And they even had Well, really? Boise State come to mind? Colby Kirkhardt's not playing?
We're giving last week an exception for both teams.
Why?
Let's see. New Mexico fought back versus Utah State, make it a 7-point game. Lost to Boise by 11 after they were winning pretty much the whole game. Wyoming.
But they got thrashed versus New Mexico. They got thrashed versus Colorado State.
Okay, fine. Wyoming's.
Well, I'm just.
I'm trying to sound positive here. Damn it.
I know. You don't need to. I'm just saying that they stumbled. Let's just say they stumbled last week. Their steam is running out. And Wyoming, if you saw Colby Kirkhardt getting tackled from behind, twist his leg and severely sprained ankle. He's not for sure. He's not going to start. But here's what. But Coach Craig Bull, I was going to think of something else. He's holding out hope that Kirkhardt, even though he may not practice, could start. Doubtful. They split time last week. Tom Thornton and senior Sam Stratton will get most reps, and they played last week. Neither played very well. So I would think Thornton might start because he's been the backup all year. But I don't know. Thornton says he's comfortable, can lead the offense. Of course, would say that. I don't know. We're not going to know until game time because Craig Bull is a smart coach. He's not Ron Carragher who will give out the information on Monday for a game on Saturday about who his quarterback is.
It doesn't matter. There's only two people we're going to be talking about in this game.
It's Lamar Jordan and Jarrell Presley? Oh, Brian Hill, yes. So this could be an interesting running matchup between those two guys.
Oh, yeah. Playing against each other. And even if you wanted to throw in there Jarrell Presley as well.
But he didn't look good last week. So what do you think? Because this game's En Route Sports. I don't know what to do because Wyoming's missing their quarterback. The game really has no meaning at all. There's no bowl game on the line. There's no chance for them to screw up somebody's divisional hopes to win the conference.
It's for Wyoming, it's fighting to be 5-7. For New Mexico, it's fighting to be 4-8.
Yeah, and also kind of a hope maybe springboard to next year because I guess last week, I could easily see New Mexico get into a bowl game in Wyoming.
Yeah, both of these teams have potential to be bowl teams.
I would probably lean more toward New Mexico than Wyoming because the quarterback situation is still iffy for the Cowboys. But
JUCO recruit thing. Yeah,
true. He'll be Kansas State Northwest. Is that what it's going to be called?
Yeah.
Kansas. Yeah, we'll go with that. I'm going with the home team, New Mexico. I think last week, just because who they played, the Rams defense is really good. Jarrell Presley is going to be back, and they're probably still maybe bummed for that Boise loss a while back, but they're going to win. I'm going to say Wyoming's going to cover. It's going to come down to like a field goal game, but I'm going with the Lobos to cover just because Presley and Jordan have a big game.
So basically what you're saying is senior day is going to take over.
Sure.
Cole Gauchy might get the start.
Don't mess with me with that. He's been injured. No, that's not. No.
Sorry. He'll walk out on the field.
He'll take a knee or something.
Damn it. This is actually a hard game to pick.
It is, because even if Colby Kirkhardt was going to play, I'd probably still lean to the home team. Take the easy way out. Take the home team with me. I'm actually picking Wyoming, but yeah.
You're picking Wyoming to cover?
Yeah, not win, but cover.
I'm gonna go New Mexico to cover and win. I'm gonna say it's going to be
You don't need to give a score, that's okay.
35-28 or something like that. It's gonna cover the point.
Okay. Excellent. Next game. San Jose State at San Diego State. CBS Sports Network.
I predict my score correctly with more on the Wizard.
Okay, sure. We'll go with that. San Diego State hosting San Jose State. I need to actually pull up
Real rivalry.
Yeah. Well, what's a trophy for this game? Is there a trophy or some trinket on the line?
Not a trophy up for this game. However, this game...
Trinket?
You would think there'd be something for this game. Because while this game has only been played 32 times, I think it is, these two schools are actually the two of the oldest schools in California. San Jose State was founded in 1887, I think it was. 90s.
Here's what we need to know before we begin. San Jose State cannot win the division, likely thanks that Hawaii shut out a couple weeks ago. And also, I expect the Aztecs to win and roll because Donald Pumphrey against that rush defense. who's the Oklahoma freshman who had the rushing record? Could we have a third week of a 400-yard rusher?
I don't think we could be that lucky, but if we can, it will definitely be Donnell Pumphrey.
Not say there's a chance, but if this was able to be placed a wager on, $10 would be sufficient to get a nice return if that was the case.
I don't even know what the spread is here.
I had it here a moment ago. Was it 10, I think?
10?
Oh, it's not showing up on here. That's weird on ESPN. I got my...
Yeah, it's not up on ESPN anymore.
I need to pull up my article from earlier. If this beeping would stop in my ear, I'd be able to be more proficient and not be wanting to punch something. I don't have the post up here, but let me go. You find out. I'll go through the scenarios here. There are two scenarios in the way the West Division can be won by San Diego State. And if they do win the division, they'll have the best record as well at 7-5. I reckon, 7-5. And first of all, it predicates them on winning, because that's the most important thing right there. You have to win to keep going here. But they also need some help where they need it. The Nevada UNLV game does not matter. It matters to some, but not to these guys. They need Hawaii to win. And say that's the only way they can get in. Actually, they have one shot. I thought they had two. Sorry.
Nope.
They need Hawaii to win and San Diego State to win themselves, and that's how they can win the division.
I'm going to pick San Diego State to cover here, and I'm sure you are too. Hello? SDSU to cover. Yes? No? Did I lose you? Hey. Hey. Can you hear me? I lost you completely. I can't. If you can bring me back in, that would be great. Am I back? Am I back? Hello?
All right, so we did find the San Diego State line. Apparently, there's an error. I think there was with saying San Jose State somehow was a 4-point favorite.
But that's just idly preposterous.
That is a nice shame to hear, but that's the case. It's 11.5 for the Aztecs. And
Ah,
as we
famous. I believe you have me mistaken, sir. I am
yeah.
actually George O'Leary's alter ego,
Ah,
Cliff
that guy.
O'Brien.
Well, that all we could say about this game really is that they're favorite. Aztecs need to win to get to the Mountain West title game, and they also need Hawaii to win. Is that correct?
To make it to the title game.
So that's a yes in your accent.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Very much
Can
so.
you do this the rest of the show?
Quite possibly, if I can keep my accent straight.
Not gonna happen. It
It.
is late since we've had our lovely technical difficulties tonight when we record late, but yeah, Pumphrey's gonna go for it. Like I said, I think we said this about 5 times because we had to delete, restart. Is Pumphrey going to be the new college football all-time single game leading rusher?
It would only be fitting to give the new guy a 1 week.
Yeah. So about 425 is what we need him to get. And like I believe you said before, if it's going to happen, this is the game it's going to happen for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is correct. They need Hawaii to win and San Diego State to win, but San Jose State, they have Jared Lawson playing back, Winston, Tyler Irvin, they're all good players, but as soon as the Aztecs play, even at 70% of that second half versus Boise State, they're going to crush them. Let's move on. That's all we got. We said this game about
You're
five
talking
times.
70% against that first half versus Boise State,
Oh,
or
sorry. No, I'm mistaken. You're right.
I
First
said they
half.
played 70% that they did against Boise State in that second half. They're going to lose by 11.
They would lose to Norfolk State. Yeah, no, but they're do you have them to win and cover 11.5?
Yes, I do.
They're gonna just crush them. So we know that outcome. That's good. And so here's the thing too: San Diego State, once their game's over, they'll be quickly turning to Hawaii Fresno State, which is what channel is that on? 7 Eastern, 4 local time out there on the West Coast. Is this a Root Sports game or is this a online only game?
It doesn't say, but you can bet that Robert Kekaula is going to be announcing the game no matter what. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I'm going to find out right here just a second here because I'll have it up. But this game, this is the game that has the most significance out of any game all weekend.
Can we go ahead and say that Norm Chow should just be in consideration for Coach of the Year just because
No.
bringing Hawaii sort of back?
No. I'm not going that far. I know. If he somehow goes 6-8 and wins the Mountain West title, he should be given Coach of the Year.
National Coach of
Oh,
the
you are correct. This game is going to be a Ocean Time Warner Cable spectacular.
Ah, yes.
It's also streaming on the Mountain West Network. And how does this get screwed up? Can't they make a change? Because they've put Oceanic games on Root Sports before. This game needs to be on TV because, yeah, two teams are losing records, but both teams have a shot to go to the title game. This should be not being watched on your computer, or, but if you have a Chromecast, I guess you can cast it to your TV. But still, this
But
should be
you
on.
think it's Oceanic Time Warner, but that means Time Warner owns the company, which
I
means they're screwing everybody else out of not buying Time Warner.
want some Robert Kekalak, whatever his name is, Kaike
Robert Kekula, come on.
Kekalula.
Yeah.
I went to Robert Kukulula. So there's that game. This game, here's the thing. First, no, like we said in our recap, what the heck happened? They just thoroughly beat down Nevada. And Brian Burrell played great. Josh Harper played great. They're still questionable about running back Marquise Waller field play because of shoulder injury he sustained. But Josh Quezada had well over 100 yards in that game when he left. So kind
of helped it down as well.
A little bit in the second half. What chances? What would you say since Hawaii is still in the running? Here's what the scenarios need to come down to be. Fresno State actually has the most scenarios to win the conference to get to the conference title game. The easy way is to win and they're in. Simple as that. Yet if they lose and
San Diego State.
No, actually San Jose State has to win.
What's that said? San Diego State loses.
No. Oh yeah, you're right, correct, yeah. San Jose, yeah. They this was a good winner. San Jose State would need to beat San Diego State. And that is the only way Fresno can get in with the loss.
Sure. And the UNLV Nevada game does not matter.
I think. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It does if matter Fresno, for some. It, no.
If Fresno State loses, San Diego State loses, and UNLV wins, then Hawaii gets it.
Oh, hold on. Wait. Let's start over here because I just confused myself. Simple. Okay. Fresno wins, they're in.
Fresno wins,
simple.
They're in.
If
Fresno loses, San Diego State has to lose, but Nevada has to win.
So basically winners, if Nevada needs to win, San Jose State needs to win, and if Fresno loses, they get in.
Right. Now, if Fresno State loses, San Diego State loses, and Nevada lose, then Hawaii makes it into the championship game.
Yeah, Hawaii needs a lot of help. Hawaii needs UNLV to win and San Jose State to win. And themselves to win.
But here's the thing. Yes, Fresno State beat down Nevada. Partially that was because Nevada melted down last game. The other part, Brian Burrell played really well. Marquise Waller played really well until he was injured.
Quezada picked up, played really well. 100 plus
exactly.
Yards for him.
Quezada picked up the slack. Here's one of the biggest things. Hawaii had a very, very difficult time stopping the pass last week.
Yeah.
Brian Burrell is going to have to repeat his performance of what he did versus Nevada. And I'm not sure if that's fully capable. I don't doubt Fresno State's going to win this game. They're at home. But I'm not sure they can cover.
No, I'm still going Fresno to win and win big. Yeah, you got Joey Osefa, he'll be fine. He'll do what he always does. But Matt don't trust the kick of Woosley at all. Throw the ball well enough again.
Not even again with Marcus Kemp. And just how fantastic the ball was thrown those last few plays of the game.
Yeah, but you're playing UNLV's defense.
True.
Okay. Come on, you gotta give me something on that end.
Fresno State's defense, which lost against UNLV's offense.
Well, there's that. No, but Woosley, he's not going to have that same type of game again. Iosefa is not going to have 200 plus yards again. Even if Fresno lost last week, I'd still pick Fresno to win.
Oh, and that's the thing. I don't think I'm picking Hawaii to win this game. I'm just picking Hawaii to cover.
Do you think Hawaii has any chance to win?
It'll take a miracle.
Scott Harding to play every position at once?
I don't have to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
No, I'm going Fresno. Going Fresno big. They found something. They're gonna win and be 6-6.
I am going Hawaii to cover. Barely, but Fresno to win.
All right, let's go to the next game. Let's save the good game for last. Let's skip ahead to Nevada UNLV.
Oh, okay, fine.
You'll be at this game, correct? At 10 at 7:30 Pacific time.
Game. I still have yet to get tickets for this game, but I'm planning on being at this game.
It's on ESPNU. Nevada, despite being 6-5, cannot win the division no matter what. For multiple losses they sustained, UNLV. I guess this is the other game that doesn't really matter too much. Nevada beat...
No. You are severely mistaken. This game matters a lot.
The Fremont Cannon?
The Fremont Cannon.
Well, I meant in terms of the division race.
Who cares about the division race at this point?
Who won this game last year?
UNLV!
Okay, so the Cannon is currently red, right?
The Cannon is currently red, and if anything UNLV fans care about outside of basketball season right now, it's that Cannon stays red.
Guess what?
Nevada has melted down the last few weeks. If there's anything that Nevada fans want more right now, because they know they can't win the conference and win the division, they want that Cannon back.
And also, they'd want to be 7-5 because of somehow of losing Fresno, because Fresno State and Hawaii can have losing records, or 6-7, I think Fresno could still go to a bowl game at 6-7, but Nevada would want to be 7-5 to have that advantage over Mountain West about missing out on an extra bowl spot because of them, especially if Boise State gets into the Fiesta Bowl.
I don't think they'll have to worry about that even.
You don't think so?
No, they're bowl eligible. They beat Washington State, which is the Power 5 team. They played it close versus Arizona. This is a team that I think, regardless of how they finish up, even if they finish 6-6, they're not getting knocked out.
Okay. I remember San Jose State last year. They beat the best team in the conference, highly ranked team, and got shut out. So
there's only one thing Nevada fans care about right now.
The Cannon.
Cannon.
Question for you is Bobby Houck, is this a win or lose game for him for his job? Does he have to win to keep his job?
No, he does not have to win to keep his job. However, winning does secure his job and leave him off the hot seat. Yes, he'll only be 3-10 this season, but guess what? He just kept the Cannon for a second year in a row.
True. Right here, Mark Anderson from Las Vegas Review Journal sees this as a must-win for Houck to keep his job.
Yeah, I did not realize Houck was that much on the hot seat.
And if something happens, this is interesting too. He's assuming the loss right here. This guy, he's already assuming the loss. Because I'm reading the five burning questions for UNLV, UNR. Number two is not even it's a question, but it's the assumption that they lose. How quickly will Athletic Director Tina Kunzer-Murphy make a decision? Expect news one way or the other no later than Monday. Something could be announced as early as Sunday. So, if he wins, I don't think they'd get rid of him.
As I said.
If they lose, I could see it, but
I don't think so.
I'd say almost 50-50. Leaning toward, maybe 64. I'd lean toward him staying one more year. But I wouldn't be overly shocked. I wouldn't, create the thing last year with Dave Christensen. That was pretty shocking last year. He was gone at Wyoming. This wouldn't surprise me nearly as much as that. But I would still be mildly surprised if they win and he gets fired.
That's a hefty price tag for the Nevada State Department of Education, Nevada Regents to pay, especially after they gave him the extension.
And there's ones that complained about the extension and raise last year, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are interesting things there. But I think, yeah, you're right. Nevada's lost two in a row. They haven't played well. They lost it. They could have almost secured the division, beating Air Force. Then they lose to them, and over time, they fell apart first freshman on second half. Fajardo played pretty well, but nobody else did on the team. And their defense didn't come up with those timely turnovers they're used to having.
And guess what? As bad as Blake Decker has been, Blake Decker hasn't been horrible this year. He just hasn't been good.
Is he going to be starting, or is it going to be Leibowitz?
I don't know. Even if Leibowitz starts and Decker comes in later off the bench, you still have the three weapons back. You have Devontae Boyd, and you have Marcus Sullivan back. Those three receiving core against this Nevada secondary
could be trouble.
It could be very much trouble. The line right now stands at Nevada at 9.5 points.
That's a lot.
I know you're all the I'm not trusting UNLV whatsoever, but that's a lot of points in rivalry.
I'm going to change that. I think Nevada's going to win, but it's going to be a touchdown, I think. I wonder if that should be my official pick.
Well, I'll tell you my official pick right now.
Go for it.
Absolutely the homer pick.
Stupid upset pick, win and cover?
Stupid upset pick, the cannon stays red.
Okay, I'm going to break my rule because Nevada's played so poorly. They're going to they're going to win but not cover. So about a touchdown. But this will also be one of the games where they'll be in control. Like maybe they'll go up early 10-0, 14-0, 17-0, where Nevada just can't quite catch up, but they'll make it with under 10 points and ultimately be like a less than 7-point victory for Nevada.
Well, remember the last 2 weeks that UNLV has jumped out to early leads. Last week, UNLV jumped out to the 14-0 lead before they gave up 24 straight points to Hawaii before then coming back and then only falling last week.
Yeah, I guess one way too. I think they would keep him in there is because Shaquille Murray Lawrence. If they have him going at full cylinder, then it'll be a game. But I'm still going Nevada to win, but close win.
All right, so I guess this is our game of the week.
Utah State, Boise State. You better believe it is.
Absolutely it is.
This game, late night, 10:15 Eastern, ESPN2. Cashing that check, $500,000 per team, cha-ching, for that game right there.
8:15 Mountain Time, local time.
Yeah, I kind of wish we'd be there now, but no, we may be there another week. We'll see what happens. But here's the deal. At this point, basically Friday about 7 Eastern, 4 Mountain Time, we'll know what the result needs to happen for either team to win. If Air Force wins, well, let's back up here. Basically, Boise wins and they're in. Simple enough, right?
Right.
Utah State, their only way to get to the title game, they must win and need Air Force to beat Colorado State. And Colorado State needs to win and hope Utah State wins. Not too difficult. So there's still three teams. At the end of the day, even on Friday, there could still be three teams in the mix. Well, no, sorry. One team will be knocked out because if Colorado State wins, Utah State's out of it.
No matter what.
Yeah, because head to head. So we will know what two teams are in it, whether it's the game itself, those two teams, or if it's Colorado State and Boise State, and Utah State will be spoiler.
So So. I think, wow, I just want to put on my Homer hat right now.
Well, do it. What do you think a Homer hat sounds like?
Homer hat says that we just won 63-14 last week against a Wyoming team where Utah State, even with Kent Myers and that fantastic defense, only managed a 20-3 victory. Yes, you have the Vigil brothers on defense. Yes, you have Frankie Satira, who's probably going to pick off Grant Hendrick at least once in this game. But that Boise State offense and that Boise State defense, which is almost as good as the Utah State defense, with some glaring weaknesses, meaning the run game. But guess what? That run game, Utah State doesn't have that much of a run game. You can't expect Kent Myers to be scrambling around for 170 yards. You can't have Joe Hill and
Luan Hunt
only average 130 yards total between the two of them, if even that. You know, Utah State's game is in.
Yeah, Kent Myers, the reason he had those big runs because San Jose State allows that. Boise does not allow that. They may allow some yards, but not to Kent Myers, I don't think. What was that?
Except against New Mexico.
But,
I mean, they didn't even allow that last week versus Wyoming versus Brian Hill.
Here's the thing. Do you know what Boise State's defense historically struggle against?
Option teams?
Not necessarily option teams, yes, but quarterbacks that have movement. Mobile quarterbacks, they tend to play less than optimal on defensively.
Yes, I know this very well.
So, it's not that Katmars is mobile by any means, and we know they beat. No, they didn't. They've never played against Frankie Keaton, so there's not that to go through. They didn't play against.
Remember, they did play against Colin Kaepernick for 4 straight years.
Yeah, I know, and he played quite well against the Broncos, right?
Oh, God. Still nightmares.
2010.
Forgot 2010, too. 2007, his second game started.
Yeah, let's tear it up. Here's what I got. Come and stop me.
Scoring game in modern history, 69-67, 4 overtimes.
Yeah, crazy.
Which yours truly was at.
There you go. Exciting. No, but it's Myers is more in a Chucky Keaton mold where he will extend the pocket a bit, but him likely to run off for big games like Kaepernick or Fajardo or those type of quarterbacks or even Lamar Jordan or even Kel Pearson, not the case. But if he keeps pocket, if he keeps drives alive by moving around, then that's an advantage, and Boise has been known to struggle, like we said. Here's the thing, though. We mentioned our recapture last week. I don't know how well Katmars can throw downfield. We either said our opinion, or at least mine was, it comes down to a few things. They don't trust him. He can't make the throw, or they're holding everything back for this game because the schedule leading up to this, they didn't need to open the playbook with what Myers can do.
But they did. They had the one long pass versus JoJo Natson a few weeks
ago. I'm not talking deep. I'm talking about yards over 12 yards. He's not even doing those, really.
I guess right.
So, I mean, like, what would you think, if you're a coach or thinking, because Matt Lowell's a smart guy, what do you think it is? I'm leaning more, I would say, playbook and a little
bit. Let me give you the stats here real quick. Kent Myers is 58 of 79. That's 73.4 completion percent. Mm-hmm. But it's only for 639 yards, which isn't horrible. That's 8.09 yards per attempt.
Yes, but also when you throw a swing pass to JoJo Natson, it goes off for 70 yards. That's included.
Exactly.
I remember there's a stat, I guess some guy on ESPN.com does it for NFL. I think I mentioned this a month or two ago. Yards depth per throw. So basically, it's how far the quarterback throws the ball. So if he throws a 0-yard pass but goes for 80, his yards per depth throw, whatever it's called, is 0 yards. But if he throws it 60 yards in the air, it's a 60-yard throw plus whatever. I'm pretty sure his was about 5.
I'd put it longer. I'd put about 6 or 7.
Every throw he's throwing is over the – I don't buy it because I think it's a combination of they're not sure if he can make the throw and also the playbook option.
Well, are we playing point-counterpoint right now? Am I taking Boise State and you're taking Utah State?
No, I'm just curious. No, we're not. I'm just saying, Kent Myers, like, what's the reason for them not getting Hunter Sharp involved more? I'm saying I think it's a little bit of the playbook, not wanting to open it a little bit. They're not sure of what they have. Do you feel that's the same, or do you think they're just this is the offense, this is what Boise's expecting?
No, I think this is the offense. Remember, Matt Wells is a very defensive-minded coach. Like Gary Anderson before him. And I was, oh God, I can't believe I'm about to bring this up. I was listening to The Herd this morning. At work. And he was talking to, I forgot who he was talking to. Mark Burrell. He was talking to Mark Burrell. And basically what Burrell was saying was having a defensive does change how the playbook is affected. So if all your emphasis is on defense and basically you count on your quarterback to not screw up, that's a very different playbook than, say, Brian Carson and Boise State, who are going to basically pull every single play out of the playbook and utilize running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and every single formation.
True. That's a good point.
I think their playbook is a defensive-minded playbook, even on the offensive side.
But we've seen Darrell Garrettson throw the ball. They've let Craig Harrison throw the ball down the field.
Oh, absolutely.
So why not?
I'm telling you that Darrell Garrettson, his yards per attempt weren't much more than Kent Myers. They were only 8.41, and he had almost 60 more throws than Kent Myers so far. So true. What does that tell you?
Well,
most of his throws are short, with the exception of some of the ones that are very far.
Yet, but then, no, I don't want to point the stupid counterpoint, but what I'm saying, my main concern is Hunter Sharp has been invisible, essentially, ever since.
But Jojo Natson has been busy.
I know. Yes. He's still, Hunter Sharp is still averaging almost 15 yards an attempt or reception. But versus UNLV, it's okay, 9.8. New Mexico, 2 point yards per catch. San Jose State, 6.7. Hawaii, he got 3 and 1 deep 70-yard pass. Wyoming was okay, but before that, before the past 5 games, he's had 3 games of less than 10 yards per reception. Prior to that, every game was above 10 yards per reception. So there is some truth to them not throwing the ball downfield a bit. Sharp's production, like reception-wise, has gone down a little bit. Not a lot, but gone down a little bit as well when you average it out. But he's not being thrown to as much and not downfield as much.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, though. Mm-hmm. Hunter Sharp's numbers were seriously up when Gerritsen was the quarterback. With Myers as the quarterback, he plays a little bit differently. He's got a different chemistry with some of the wide receivers than maybe Gerritsen has.
Wait, no, he has no chemistry. He was during spring ball, fall camp, I guarantee he's getting maybe 2 reps a week. He wasn't getting any significant reps until Gerritsen was the quarterback. He probably didn't throw his first pass to Hunter Sharp. So
then don't you build your playbook around that?
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking they're holding the playbook back because they could have. Why open everything up when you're playing UNLV, Hawaii, Wyoming, and New Mexico? You don't need to change anything at all. Play it safe. Your defense will beat those teams.
But I guarantee. But based off that though, then if you everything that you've been doing the previous weeks has been so successful, why, outside of the fact that it is Boise State, the last game of the game, and your chance to win the division, why would you open up your playbook just so radically that you had a quarterback who before was not getting significant reps, who can basically learn all that playbook this week?
Well, it's a good point. They're going to implement. I'm not saying they're going to throw every pass 20 yards or those deep flies or 20-yard, 15-yard curls. They're going to challenge downfield more than they ever have. They're doing this in practice, but I get your point is extremely valid that why change success for what you've been doing, make Natson playmaker, make him catch a short pass and do his thing.
If Utah State wins this game, they're winning it on defense. They're not winning it with Kent Myers on offense.
They may not, but they're going to have to challenge downfield more than they ever have.
I'm not disagreeing with that, sir.
But that's what I mean. I'm not saying you're not going to see every other play go downfield, but they can't just rely on these short passes and hope Natson can give a stiff arm to whatever defensive back is on him. That's why you need to keep the defensive backs on their toes where they don't know if it's going to be a quick slant or a bubble screen or a jet sweep. They're going to have to also defend against a deep pass. And Utah State is also known to run a few halfback passes and put Vigil back at quarterback.
Butler.
Yeah, or Butler as well. So I think they're not going to open up significantly, but they're going to throw the ball down more than they ever have, I think, in the past month. Because the past month, they haven't needed to.
So back to the game and back to the spread. Right now, the spread sits at Boise State at -8.5.
I think that's a bit too much. I was thinking, I think it opened at 9.5. I was thinking about 6. Because this is the best defense they faced all year. And also, did you know, really quick...
is it? I would put Ole Miss, Robert Nkambiche.
Did he? Okay, yeah. Okay. Second best, and that was in week 1, 10 weeks ago. Here's the thing, though. Did you know the last 8 games Utah State has played, they've only allowed 4.5 points in the second half.
So basically what you're saying is Boise State has to rely on a first half coming out part.
Maybe.
Which they did last week.
Yeah, against Wyoming, yeah. And then Utah State's only given up less than 20 points a game in 18. I just think, my opinion, here, I said Scopey School, people, oh, you're home, you're going for Utah State to win no matter what. If Boise plays like Wyoming, Boise's going to win by a touchdown, a minimum, probably 10 to 14 points if they play like last week. Their offense is clicking. They're getting everything done. They'll win by 2 touchdowns, probably minimum, if they play like versus Wyoming.
You also forget that this game is in Boise and not
Yes, I understand. It's on the blue field. Albertson's there. But what I'm getting at is if they play, if here's the thing. If Utah State goes up 20-0 like San Diego State did, there is I will give zero chance Boise would be able to come back from a deficit against this Utah State defense.
That's fair. I'll say that's fair.
And that's where I'm thinking Utah State. I don't know if they'll do it. This will be, I kind of think, what's the over-under on this game? I thought I had it up. We're lovely.
While you think about the over-under of this game, I'll just go ahead and leave this here. Utah State, 3-3 on the road.
At Tennessee, at Arkansas State,
at BYU, at Hawaii, at Wyoming. They lost at Colorado State, better team. At Arkansas State, which they shouldn't have lost, but somehow did. And at Tennessee, the first game of the season.
Yeah. It's 55.5 over-under. That means they're saying like a 30-22 game, 34-21.
Yeah.
That seems too many points for me in this game. I take the under.
I will take the over.
I just don't, because Utah State's offense isn't explosive enough. Like you said yourself, Wyoming, one offensive touchdown. They had a defensive touchdown and a special teams touchdown. Special teams touchdown. Field goals and special teams TD. I think that's too many points. Here's the thing. We know Boise State's offense is better than Utah State's offense, but the Aggies' defense is better than Boise's defense. It comes down to me is Boise playing a complete game. If they do, they'll win. If they don't, it's going to be Utah State's right there with them no matter what, I think. If somehow Boise has some early miscues on defense, like you said, defensive touchdown, Zach Vigil has a strip, a sack, and a score right there. You know what I mean? Or there's an interception by whatever. Pick your Utah State defensive back of choice.
I'm going to go ahead and say Boise State wins by 10-14 points.
Do you think J.J. will have a big game receiving the ball out of the backfield with this linebacking group?
I think he's going to go for under 100 yards rushing, but about 70-100 yards receiving.
I can see that. I was thinking about 150 total would be about a good number, I think.
Yeah. I think he's got to get a little bit more.
Because here's the thing I'm concerned about if you're a Boise State fan. Like you mentioned last week, Grant Hedrick had two games with four interceptions each, Ole Miss and Air Force. This defense is in the same wheelhouse as this, and closer to Ole Miss than Air Force.
They also forced 7 turnovers in that game versus Air Force.
True, yeah, true.
I still think that Air Force game was very fluke.
It was a fluke, but yeah. I still want to give Air, you know what I mean? I don't want to kick Air Force.
Well, I'm not taking anything away from Air Force.
I know. It is just both sides played.
I'm just saying it's
out of character.
Characteristic.
Yeah.
In uncharacteristic football, you still have to find a way to win. Air Force found a way to win, whereas San Diego State did not.
True. This game's so close because it's just the defense Utah State.
Are you sticking to it? Are you sticking to what you say?
What am I saying?
You said that Boise State's going to win, but Utah State's going to keep it within, you know, it's going to be maybe 6 points.
If things as go as they should, yeah, I'm picking Boise to win, but Utah State will cover like 6 points or whatever, field goal, something close. I don't think this game will be a blowout for either direction. Utah State's not going to blow anybody out because their offense is not right there. But the inner defense will keep most teams down. They're not getting blown out.
73rd in the nation.
Yeah. Here's what I'll put it away. If everything goes to plan, Boise's going to win by about almost a touchdown. They're at home. They know all they got to do is win and get in. They have everything going. They have a lot of pressure on them, but they have everything going. They win.
By the way, Boise State's probably back up in the top 10 for points for in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying they got a lot of pressure. They want to. Like, there's some pressure on them, but they win, they know they're likely on track to go to the Fiesta Bowl or whatever bowl game they go to for the New Year's Day bowl game. But here's how I'm going to say that both teams go in. Boise, what they need to do, it's so stupid, but don't have as many turnovers. You could have at most one versus team, I'm thinking. If they get, well, not just one, but if they're, let's put it this way, they can't be more than minus one in the turnover margin to win this game. They could have two or three, but they can't be more than minus one. If they're minus two or minus three, they're not going to win this game.
What if they are plus one, but they commit four turnovers?
I'll still stand by that. They're better. They have more possessions than Utah State does. Or not more possessions, but more chances. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you have 5-4, you know what I mean. You take away a shot from Utah State.
I agree with you.
That's, I hope that's not the case. That'd be an ugly football game, but
I'm here. Hypotheticals.
True. I think if Boise's going to win, if they're at worst minus one, JHI needs to, like I said, have at least 150 total yards on offense, and you can't allow Utah State to have any defensive touchdowns or very short fields. That's how they're going to win. Use JHI a lot in this game, I think, is the key.
Okay, so you want to know, this is my last tidbit because we are going way too long.
Yes, way too long.
Okay, my last tidbit of this game. Grant Hedrick, 3,041 yards on the season, 20 touchdowns. How many yards do you think his top two receivers have right now?
Is Matt Miller still one of those?
No.
How many yards each?
No, just combined.
For the top two, and he has 3,300 yards, you said?
Yep, he has 3,000 yards.
3,000? 1,200, 1,300.
How about 1,100?
Okay, he spreads the ball around, that's what you're saying.
He spreads the ball around a lot, and that's one of the things that makes Boise State's offense completely effective.
It does.
So.
Well, Ajayi gets a lot of those too.
I know. So, sorry. Anyway. That's...
Okay, so let me get back to my point. If Utah State is going to win, I think it's what you said. Special teams, explosive plays, and defensive touchdowns are short, very short fields.
Yes.
Is that your same assessment?
Yes.
So, okay, so you Boise's, we both picking Boise to win. You're picking them to cover as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who's your? So if we're going off this logic, it's Boise State versus 2 in the title game. Is it Fresno?
Fresno.
Because they win and they're in.
Yes.
We are going Fresno State, Boise State
title. Which is what I called at the beginning of the year, by the way.
Do I get credit as well for saying they're going to struggle to 6-6?
Yes, you do get credit.
I love my last second change. I'm like, I'm thinking, oh, they're title game, they'll win 9 or 10. I'm like, no. Struggle to 6-6, and that's the case. All right, so that's our show tonight. I got to fix this together because we had a few issues this evening and it's super late. Thanks for joining us, mwcconnection.com. Find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, our website, Blog Talk Radio, to listen to this wonderful. Hopefully my audio was correct this week because I made a few adjustments. But this is our last weekend of regular season games. Let us know what you're thinking. Comment throughout the threads, all sorts of stuff. And we will know who the title game is next week. And also, we will know a small percentage if there'll be representatives from the website at the title game, correct?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes, we will know whether or not we will be at the title game.
I think so, yeah. We'll figure it out, but thanks for listening. Hopefully the show sounded great. I openly admit technical difficulties throughout, but hey, have a good time. Have a great Thanksgiving. That's coming up as well. Listen to this on your long drive. Thanks for that, or flight, whatever. But yeah, we'll talk with everybody Sunday night after all the games. Later.
I gotta go. Or...